Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, June 30th.
Good morning, the last day of June.
Last day of June, okay. It means it's the 4th of July this week, right?
It does, yeah.
I know it takes a genius to figure it out, but I did. So I'm proud of myself this morning.
It's a big day for Americans.
Yes, it is.
I probably shouldn't celebrate it because I'm British, but
so
hey,
you live here. Exactly. When in Rome, behave like the Romans, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I had a good weekend.
You did?
Yeah. Had a lot of fun and stuff.
How were the dates you went on?
Oh, well, actually two turned to just one because one sort of disappeared.
Oh, no.
So I'm telling you, the dating scene is killing me, man. I was looking forward to it and everything, and now I'm realizing, man, some people are just not all together, you know.
Yeah.
So Friday night I went to a party, and that was fun. It was sort of like a naughty-themed party and stuff. And
oh, fun.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to get too much into detail there. But it was an experience to be there and stuff. So that was fun. And then, I went on a date, and it turned out great.
Nice.
Turned
That's
out great.
Exciting.
I know. It was sort of like it ended up being dinner because it started off as coffee and then drinks and then because it was getting later in the day.
Yeah. Oh, so it was a nice long
No, date. No. Actually, what happened was we kept postponing it until nighttime. Yeah. So finally I said, okay, we'll go to dinner. Because, I mean, the reason I'm bringing it up is because, you know, we were talking about the fact that on the first date, dinner is probably not a smart thing.
Yeah.
If you're dating, you know, if you're dating a couple times a week or something.
Right.
You know?
And that's expensive.
Yeah. And not only that, but if you don't like the person, that's a long time to be stuck with someone,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
With a drink or coffee, you know, after an hour, you can just get up and leave. So So that went great. And then we went outside. We found out that we both smoke cigarettes. So we sat outside. And that's a funny thing also when you're like dating someone for the first time. It's like, how do you break it to them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because so many people just don't like it, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing is, some people will tolerate it, which is okay. And some people smoke. But then there's people that won't even tolerate it, you
right.
know, so you don't know what's going to happen, you know. I mean, even if you find out they don't tolerate it, fine, but you don't want it to be like on the first date.
Become a problem, yeah, on the first date. Well, I did like you, but now you smoke, so
yeah,
I don't
exactly,
like you.
Exactly,
yeah.
I don't like you anymore.
Yeah.
But so that turned out great, and then it was just like there was really a lot of chemistry, which was really cool, you know.
Yeah.
So we both felt good and everything. We planned the first date, and then we started texting yesterday. And that was fine. And then she texted me something naughty, right? Like for the first time.
Uh-huh.
So I texted something naughty back, right? So what do I get back? I get, there will be no more explicit language.
Oh.
I'm like, really?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And what she wrote, she said, you killed it when you texted this or, you know, whatever. I don't want to get into the details, but like you killed it. And that really like irritated me. I mean, what do you mean I killed it? You know, you're the one who started this.
Yeah,
I just sort of, I would never, never have started going in that direction.
Right.
If you hadn't.
Yeah.
You know, I respect women that way.
Yeah.
And so I was really irritated, you know. And I wrote to her, I said, you know, you opened up a door and then you slammed it in my face when I walked through it. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And so we went back and forth. And then, okay, let's leave it. Let's just forget it. Leave it behind us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but ever since then, neither one of us texted. So it's probably dead in the water. I don't, you know.
No.
And how can it be, you know, just from this little incident.
Just from that one thing.
Because, you know, we built up a whole thing on the weekend, you know. And I spent $100 freaking.
Wow. Would you text her again?
I will if she texts. I don't think I'm going to text first.
You don't?
No. Because I'm sort of hurt by this. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think I should? Because I already apologized. I said, for what it's worth, I didn't mean to disrespect you. And I don't think I was in the wrong. And I explained myself, you know.
Yeah. I think if there was chemistry and you had fun.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think you should maybe just text her just and say, hi, I hope you're having a good day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Nothing about that.
And just leave it behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, the thing is that I'll tell you why. Because this is a woman who's quite like strong and independent and takes the initiative and everything. So I figure, you know, for someone like that, if she doesn't text, maybe she's not interested anymore. Because she knows where to find me. You know? Don't you think?
But
you would want to be texted even though it happened?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, and she's probably thinking the same. If he doesn't text me,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Texting's such a... I hate texting. I mean, I love it, but I hate it, you know?
I know.
I think everyone feels like that because everything gets misconstrued. And,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Everything.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
And we don't get on the phone, but texting is more convenient, you know, because you don't have to just sit there and be glued to the phone.
Right.
You know, you text as you go, you know? Sometimes you go and you run errands and everything and you keep texting. And,
uh-huh.
And all that stuff, so you can have like a whole conversation. But I don't know if I'm being. I hope not.
Then I think you should text him. But that's just my opinion.
No, that's good. I want a woman's opinion. You know.
I think you should, and I think she will be waiting for you.
Mm.
I don't think she'll.
That she will text.
Yeah.
Really?
Because I just think that's a woman, especially if she's strong and. Independent.
That's true, huh?
I think she's going to be like, well, I don't need him if he wants to text me and hang out with me.
Right. But then I have to really reevaluate if I want to be with her.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
That's true, too.
Because I got to tell you something. I've realized that, you know, 99.9% of the time you meet people, and it's cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. You feel okay about yourself and everything. That's fine. But sometimes you'll run into a person when you feel you're starting to go crazy.
Yeah.
And you go... You know, I mean, what is happening to me? You know, am I like really like screwing up here or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize if you feel you're going crazy, the other person's crazy because it doesn't happen to you 99.9% of the time. So you must be okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You know, so if someone, you know, because I feel I'm going crazy and confused. I don't know what happened here.
Yeah.
All I know is that she opened the door. I said, okay, I'll walk through it with you. And bam, slam in my face.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes you feel really like shit, you know. So, I don't know. That's how I felt. But I think I'll take your advice because it is worth it. You know, it's not easy finding cool people.
Yeah, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least you'll know.
Right.
From trying.
Right.
You know?
And screw pride, right? That's what you're saying. Don't be too proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because men are like that.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
but women are like that too. Excuse me.
It's true. That's true too.
If they weren't, you would be texted first.
That,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, just like the one that I met previously, like, we were in the middle of text. I mean, she had this habit. We'd be in the middle of text, and then she'd just stop.
Wouldn't text
and disappear
back.
For 24, 48 hours. I'm like, what is this, you know? And then it's like, oh, how you doing? I'm like, you know what? The hell with this. You know, what is it? I'm going to dance to your tune?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So I'm just thinking if I let this go this time, you know, maybe it's going to set a precedent, and I'm going to get pooped on all the time. So, I don't know. But you know what?
Maybe I should try. I don't think you will.
I like her a lot.
Because it's in the back of your head. You know it happened. Yeah. Like, you don't really want to text her, but just for this, maybe like a second date, like just to really see, you know, if there really is a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, because we'd already planned the second date, you know.
Oh, then I think you should text her for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here comes our guest who we didn't even introduce at all. We went through all this. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Are you calling into the show? Is this our guest this morning? Tricia?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Tricia Nelson. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
That's okay. Most people call in, they don't understand where they're calling into, and they sort of hesitate, like, why is he talking to me like that? You know? But that's okay. Tricia, where are you calling us from this morning?
Where am I calling from?
Yes.
I live in Brentwood.
Oh, you're in L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Okay, because we didn't realize that. I didn't, I guess I should have looked at the area code, but that's okay. Well, welcome to the show, Tricia. This was on short notice, so... And I understood we were going to talk to Roy Nelson. You're Tricia Nelson. How are you guys related?
So Roy's my husband, and he and I do a lot of speaking on his behalf because he's a busy guy, but I can tell you a lot about him.
Okay, sounds good. I would imagine you better being his wife and everything.
yeah, he's a great guy.
Right. So I wanted to, so we're going to talk about addiction and people destroying their lives and everything. And I just wanted to give the website before we go on. It's roynelsonhealing.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so we're going to discuss this and stuff. Now, from what I understand, Roy is an addiction survivor. Tell us what that means.
Roy suffered from a lot of addictions, and he, his story is pretty horrific. He grew up in an alcoholic home, and he, his dad was a real tyrant, and he, Roy swore he would never drink, and of course he became just like his dad. And so that's one aspect of it. He also was addicted to food, and food was a main source of support, I think, for him, and it killed a lot of his own feelings. So he overate throughout his life to cope with stress.
Wow.
And he became morbidly obese. He's a short guy, but he's 275 pounds.
Mm.
And he, you know, he had other addictions, other obsessions that really drove him to a point of despair. In many years ago, over 35 years ago, in 1976, and he became so despairing that he had one of those blows to the head, if you will, metaphorically speaking, and he hit bottom and turned to, you know, a spiritual source. He's not a religious guy, but he definitely realized he needed some help and was open to that help and really had a profound experience where he basically lost all of his weight. He stopped drinking. He completely turned his life around. And he's been free ever since. And what happened was he had to do a lot of work to overcome, you know, what was underlying those addictions. Those addictions were lifted in 1976, but he still had to grow up, as he says. And so basically he found a way out. He developed, based on his own experience, he developed a system, a method, if you will, for overcoming addictions. And today he calls that the Nelson Method. And it's a very special process that enables people to really break free from their addictions and not just one addiction. I mean, there's a lot of things out there, you know, that can help people with addictions, but typically people transfer addictions and they go to something else. And so
right.
his method is really about helping people break free from all of them. He had so many addictions. He didn't want to keep swapping addictions or switching deck chairs on the Titanic, if you will. He really wanted to be free, totally free. And so that's what he did. And based on that, he developed this method that he uses with other people, walks people through. I was one of those people in 1988. Thankfully, I found him. Some people recommended him to me, and he helped me with my own addictions. And but he's been helping people for literally over 30, 35 years, and the results are really phenomenal. But they're all based on his personal experience of going through hell, essentially.
Wow. So the Nelson Method is, so he created this while he was trying to get through his addictions or after, once he had got through the addictions?
You know, it was really after. I mean, he didn't know, he wasn't planning on helping people. He just was trying to survive himself, you know, and overcome. So he, it's like he sort of groped in the dark, found his way, And then realized the Nelson method didn't even come then. He just knew he had to help people. He had to give, you know, give to others what had been so freely given to him. And he began helping other people in the 1980s, especially. And that's when he started, really. And so, you know, he kept helping people and just realizing that he had this gift. I came along in 1988, and I was just very, you know, I mean, he saved my life, and so I was very passionate about helping him reach more people, because there's people, you know, there are people out there who have tried everything. He really specialized in helping people who, like himself, couldn't get help, like they'd tried everything. He'd been to doctors and psychiatrists, and he used to, he literally, to show you how hopeless he was, he used to have to travel. He would used to hire a doctor or a registered nurse to travel with him so they could give him IVs of Valium or sodium pentothal, because he suffered from panic attacks and phobias. And yeah. He just was such a hopeless case. So he really specializes in helping other people who feel like they've tried everything and they're not getting where they need to go. So the method came after, when he sort of was reflecting on the steps that he took and the steps that he teaches others. And that's how that evolved.
Right. Now, so I have a question. Now, you said, you know, people switch addictions and things like that. Would you say that addiction is something you're born with? Is that like sort of a gene that some people have?
I think it's a combination. It's a great question. I think that people who have a lineage of alcoholism in their family, which I did, I think they definitely can have the alcoholic gene, if you will, or at least a propensity towards alcoholism.
Right.
And it's a physiological thing where they're, you know, they have an allergy to alcohol. Their body reacts differently to alcohol than your average person. That was certainly the case with me, and certainly the case with Roy. But it doesn't, you know, I think some people may have that and don't ever become alcoholics. I think you have to, you know, combine that with a tremendous amount of stress and fear and different things that sort of become this, you know, perfect storm for addiction. So, but I do believe, you know, that there are, you know, people can tend more toward an addictive personality. And we actually have a quiz that we give to people, you know, so they can see if they have the addictive personality, because it can show up in other ways. I mean, a person can maybe not be, you know, addicted to alcohol or food or drugs or anything like that, but still have the personality, the nervousness, the drivenness, and there's a lot of different characteristics. They can have that, and it can cause them just as much misery as somebody's actually using a substance.
Right.
So what was Roy's method to get over his addictions? Because, I mean, alcohol is just one, but also then eating, and it's just a downward spiral. How did he get out of that?
Well, you know, it's definitely a process, and even though, like, his addictions were lifted, his symptoms, if I, you know, should really call him, his symptoms were lifted right away when he kind of had a, you know, that kind of spiritual experience. But the work he does with people, he has a 28-day program that he walks people through this method, and what it includes is really has a lot to do with, actually very little to do with the addiction itself. You know, most addiction programs are focusing on the addiction, whereas people who come to Roy may have any kind of addiction, sex addiction, you know, work addiction, you know, gambling. I mean, there's obviously a jillion of them out there. But people come to him, and we don't focus on the addiction itself. It's really about what's underlying that addiction. So Roy's work is all about helping people address and heal the underlying causes. And that's what gets overlooked so much of the time. People don't, you know, they're focused on just stopping the addiction. And once the addiction is stopped, you know, then they're good to go. But of course, as we all know, people relapse
right.
So much, and or they switch addictions. So he's about getting underneath. And that includes, you know, he does a lot of talking with somebody, sitting with somebody. The environment in which he works is very, we've created a real sort of a bubble of safety, and it's very loving, so that people can really, you know, sort of let down their guard and really begin to look inside at things. And it's not a scary or daunting process at all when it's in that kind of environment. And Roy's, you know, a great guy is very funny. He's from Texas, so he's sort of he's got a very unique way of interacting with people that's very unconventional in that it's not just like talk therapy or it's not some serious heavy environment. It's very fun, actually. So people are able to do this work. It's very hard work, but laugh along the way. And in that process, they're healing. But we do, you know, that people do a lot of writing. We teach people how to meditate. A lot has to do with, you know, lessening a person's stress level, because stress is, you know, one of the major contributors to addictions, right. You know, whatever kind. People use addictions to cope with stress. Whether it's emotional stress, physical stress, you know, just their hectic lives. So we also, help people really rebuild their lives in a way that is a lot enables them to not have to use something. You know, people are using addictions, you know, because they need them in order to cope with life. And so life is more the problem than the addiction. And so we teach people how to live life differently,
right,
you know, how to make different choices, how to, you know, not take on so much stress in their life, how to cut out the stressful and chaotic relationships. I mean, there's a lot of things that you know, go long before, you know, they are the causal, you know, they cause the addiction, and the addiction is a symptom of those causes. So we got to get down to those causes.
Right. Mm-hmm. You got to get back to the bottom of this. Now, you know, I mean, speaking of this, by the way, we're talking to Tricia Nelson, and the website, we're talking about Roy Nelson's method, and the website is roynelsonhealing.com, and there's a wealth of information there about the 28-day program and so forth, and it seems pretty interesting. I see he's also publishing a book soon.
Indeed, yeah. In about a month's time, we will actually, his book will be launched and be available for purchase, and people can actually go to our website for the pre-sale of the book. The book is called Love Notes from Hell.
Right.
So it's really based on his personal story, and, you know, and really outlines really all the different addictions that he suffered from, and it really also includes his recovery process, and also a lot about his philosophy and the, you know, really what he teaches people when he works with individual private clients. So he works with people one-on-one and occasionally in small groups, and that's what also makes it so different from, you know, the typical treatment model, because he's literally working with one person at a time, giving them his soul attention and care, and it's very private, and you know, it's sort of a concierge service that people often need if they're not getting help they need in other ways.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. Now, how does this, just briefly, I know this is very deep and stuff as far as the, you know, the methods and all that, but how is this different from the 12-step programs? Because I know those don't work for everybody, you know.
Well, it's true. I mean, this 12-step, I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous has, you know, been extremely successful in helping people stop drinking. It's probably the most successful, you know, thing out there compared to everything else. However, there are people who don't get it, you know, and it doesn't work for them. And then the other programs that are offshoots of that, other 12-step programs, you know, oftentimes they don't work for people because, for one thing, as I mentioned, they're focusing on stopping one thing. So somebody will go to a food program and get off their, you know, they'll curb their eating or get on a food plan. But all the other stuff, I know for me, I was 50 pounds overweight, and so I would go to these programs myself, and I'd focus on the symptom, you know, I'd lose the weight, but all the stuff that had driven me to get to that weight in the first place, it was still there and it was still unaddressed. And so I had a lot of issues that were just sort of dangling out there in the wind, you know, and what happens, and the reason why people relapse and go back to eating or drinking or whatever else they use, is because they can't handle, you know, life without their anesthetic, without that that treatment of the addiction. And why this is different is because this really gets a lot deep, goes a lot deeper for somebody, and you know, people also, if they do switch addictions, they're never really getting to the underlying stuff. So they may be stellar in one 12-step program, but be using a whole bunch of other things, in which case they're not really healing. You know, so what we're really about, you know, Roy's program really helps people heal at the deepest level so that they don't have to switch deck chairs on the Titanic. And so, and also people just sometimes need a lot more personal attention and care than they get in the 12-step rooms. You know, you can get very lost in those rooms or hook up with people who aren't serious about the program and can take you off course. So it's really important, you know, the accountability that Roy creates with his clients is so vital, because it really helps them, you know, do the work, stick to it, you know, really dig deep and really get that freedom that they need, so that they're not craving anything, so they're not trying to use something for relief or escape.
Right. So essentially, he does one-on-one programs with people, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, people that are not in LA, that are remote, is it possible to do that with them as well?
He does not work with people remotely, except for following up with them after they work with him in person. He really has a spiritual energy and a very special way that he works with people, that when he's sitting there in a room, you know, with them, there's a connection that's made that is very transformational. So when people work with him, you know, they see him on a daily basis, they get to hug him, they you know, they sit with him for, you know, a lot of time. He's very, you know, he gives a lot of time to his clients. That interaction there in person, I mean, you can't do that by phone or internet. It's amazing what in this world we can do by phone and internet.
Right.
But this particular, you know, this kind of healing, the depth of it is really best, you know, translated through that one-on-one in-person connection.
Right. So it's actually a program that goes for the 28 days, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
So I guess I would imagine, I mean, I know a lot of people traveled across the country to go to addiction centers and stuff. I think this would probably, you know, be worthwhile to come down to LA and do this,
yeah,
because, you know, like, you know, the anonymous programs or the addiction centers and stuff, I know that, you know, usually it's in groups and stuff. You don't really get any personal attention. And this is different, you know. So I think if someone is serious about their addictions, definitely, you know, go and learn from someone who's been through it.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. That makes all the difference in the world. You know, so many people who are trained in addictions, they haven't been there. And there's nothing like having lived through that hell and having overcome that hell. You know, he just, I mean, there's nothing that anybody could share, you know, nothing that anybody could share with him that he wouldn't understand. And he just has that depth of compassion and connection that he makes with each and every person. So loving and so kind. People are very struck by him when they, you know, when they meet him, of just how absolutely kind he is, and that really helps people feel safe and comfortable and helps them do what they need to do, you know. And a lot of times when people are in these treatment programs, they do get lost, you know, they're being shuffled around to their different, you know, activities, you know, but it's a lot of that is filler a lot of the time. I mean, they're going to yoga, they're getting their nails done, they're going to group, but they don't get that one-on-one, they don't get that intensive, you know, focus and attention that they really need.
Right. I like that. I mean, yeah. I think it would be very effective in this way. And if someone wants to invest in their future, a great way to go. Tricia Nelson, director of Roy Nelson Healing. The Nelson Method is a 28 Days to Freedom program. You guys can check out more information at roynelsonhealing.com. And anything else you want to add, Tricia?
Yeah, we actually have. I want to offer to people who are listening the ability to take our addictive personality quiz. You
okay.
know, we might have piqued some interest here, and I just want people to be able to take the quiz, because you may have some habits that you're not very happy about, but you're like, but I'm not addicted. But this quiz will help you actually determine if you are or not, and it's kind of fun. And if you go to the same URL, roynelsonhealing.com, but if you then put in the URL /quiz,
okay.
Q-U-I-Z, so it's roynelsonhealing.com/quiz, you'll get to the addictive personality quiz, and then you can see for yourself where you stand.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. So it's a little hidden feature on the website that you guys get to go to directly, roynelsonhealing.com/quiz. And, yeah, I can see that. It's pretty cool. I'm going to take this, too.
Yeah, I'm going to take it.
Although I know the answer. But all right, Tricia. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with us this morning. This is fascinating. I know it's useful to a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
Addiction is a major problem. And, you know, it was also, it's always surprising to me to hear about men with eating disorders, because I know it's mostly a female type of a thing. And But I know there are women, I mean, there are men who have that addiction
struggle
as well.
Too, yeah.
Well, it's important to know that a lot of men are overweight, okay?
Right.
And in our experience, I mean, Roy's lost over 120 pounds. Wow. He helped me lose 50 pounds. You know, when people don't realize, people think of eating disorders only as anorexia and bulimia,
right.
You know, but it goes the other way, you know, with binge eating disorder and just, you know, compulsive eating. You know, that's where we were on the spectrum. And it is just as much of a, you know, a problem. And it
right.
takes over one's life just as much. And more people in this country are afflicted with it.
Right.
But it's, you know, I used to think, well, I just like food. But I had no idea how much of a real disorder it was when everything revolved around food, and every problem in my life I used food to cope with. And so I think a lot more men are afflicted with that version of the problem than the other way. If there are some men who are anorexic and bulimic as well, but a lot fewer than those who obviously are struggling the battle of the bulge.
Right. Great. And I see there's some information on you as well. This is interesting. You grew up as a fat girl. So,
yeah.
So I'm sure you have a story to tell as well, which is... which I think is profound, you know, because I know when you grow up, you know, overweight and stuff, it can be pretty cruel. I mean, kids can be pretty gruesome.
Yeah,
yeah, you know.
Oh, absolutely. It's hell. I mean, it's for people who have to experience it. It's really a living hell, because you're trapped in this body that is so fat, and it's not the way you want to be, and you envy everybody who's skinny, and you can't get there. Like, you just feel like you can't get there, and people have tried so many different things to lose weight. I mean, they just spend good money after bad trying to, you know, lose the weight, and, you know, statistically speaking, 98% of all diets fail.
Yeah.
And so people pretty much, even if they do manage to lose the weight, they always put it back on again, and again, that's because they're focused on the symptom of weight and not what's underlying, what are the underlying causes. And, you know, people, Roy has clients who have lost hundreds of pounds and kept it off, I mean, for years and effortlessly without dieting or running triathlons or, you know, I mean, it's really
amazing.
You know, his method really works, you know, on any kind of issue.
Sounds great.
Wow.
Okay, well, Tricia Nelson, thank you so much again for spending the a few minutes with us this morning.
And, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. And all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
You as well.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
Can definitely see how that would help people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, addiction is hell. It really is.
It's like a one-on-one.
Yeah, you know, and when you... hear stories of addiction and stuff, you know, I mean, I have an addictive personality, but thank God, you know, I don't get into, like, you know, I mean, with me, it's like cigarettes and,
right.
you know, and weed every now and then. But thank goodness I don't, you know, because I think an addiction, look, everything you do in moderation is okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But an addiction, I think, is when it consumes your life to the point where it destroys your life.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Like, you drive people away.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, you hit bottom, you know.
Yeah,
that is
sure.
that nothing you do works anymore.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Wow. So, yeah, I think people like that need help. And I think this would be
beneficial.
Probably more effective than those 12-step programs.
Yeah,
that,
I agree.
You know.
You can't beat one-on-one.
Yeah.
You just can't.
That's true. That's mm-hmm. true. All right. Well,
I found this story funny.
Yeah.
So KLM, which is part of Delta, right?
Is it? I don't know. Maybe it is.
I think so.
Yeah. KLM is the Dutch airline, though.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's linked but you think to they're one, part I, of, I think it's part
maybe
of Delta,
they
po- I think.
Bought them out.
Not certain, but it's part, it's linked with one. Oh, no. Right. The story started. but so they tweeted, after Netherlands beat Mexico, which was a huge game. I don't. You probably didn't watch it, but it was
no,
a crazy
I did
game.
Not.
It was great.
Was it?
The Netherlands scored two goals. Mexico was up 1-0 pretty much the whole game. Netherlands scored the first goal, well, two goals in about 10 minutes.
Really?
The last 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. But then KLM tweeted a photo of the word departures. And the, no, sorry. They tweeted a photo of a man wearing a mustache and a sombrero. And they wrote, adios, amigos, departures. But I guess there's been a huge uproar with Mexicans.
Sure.
And they have gone, they're all furious.
Really?
And a Mexican actor, A-list Mexican actor, Gael Garcia Bernal? I don't know who
Never
that is.
Never heard of him.
But he used not one, but two explicits in a 140-character tweet to tell the 2 million, to tell his 2 million plus followers that he'll never fly with them again.
Really?
Yeah. And 30 minutes later, the tweet was taken down by KLM, and a spokesperson said it was meant to be a joke.
Right.
But there was a lot of negative reaction.
Yeah.
But when you get someone with 2 million followers saying, I'm never going to fly with them again, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is
you
a
know?
Problem.
That's a big problem.
And yeah, I mean, you're dealing with a whole nation here.
Yeah,
you
I don't know
it's...
why they would ever post something like that.
I
that's
know.
Just a terrible idea.
I know.
Terrible idea.
Jokes don't work very well on Twitter
no.
or texting or anything.
No,
you know?
not at all.
They really don't.
No.
Yeah, I'm living proof of that from yesterday. My God. I still can't get over it.
Yeah, so not a good joke.
Right. Not a good joke at all. Yeah.
I don't know why they would think that would be a good idea. And especially, like, Mexico is such diehard fans.
Yeah.
Like, the same, like, Costa Rica, they're crazy fans, too.
Really?
I mean, I watched videos of when they won their game. I can't remember who it was against. And the fans are just going insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, Costa Rica, I saw that when I was eating something. It was playing in the background. Let's see, who were they playing?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. But USA plays tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they playing? Germany?
I don't know.
No, wait a minute. They played Germany and they lost. But they were still going on, right? I think that's what it was. So we'll see,
I
yeah.
have a feeling...
Who
yeah,
cares?
Yeah,
we'll find out by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just know the game's at one.
Yeah. Did you hear about this? Dozens of people got stuck for 4 hours in SeaWorld after... and a SeaWorld ride after a power failure.
Oh, no. That's like my worst nightmare, being stuck on a...
And let me tell you which ride this is also. It's the Sky Tower, which is an elevator ride 320 feet high.
So it's like one of the up and down ones.
Yeah,
oh boy.
Those elevators. Imagine being stuck on that.
That sounds miserable. It just sounds awful. So they're stuck up high. And with a power failure, I'd be scared that I was just going to be dropped.
Right.
Yeah.
Either that or they're saying they were never in danger, but I'm sure they didn't know that while they were on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they took selfies on there.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. Because that's a long time to be stuck.
It is.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
4 hours. My God, man. That's why I don't like going to these places, you know?
I love it.
The hell with rides and flying planes and all that stuff. Let me stay home, you know?
I love theme parks. I haven't been to Magic Mountain yet. I really want to go.
I know. Well, they actually closed down the Colossus, which was like the...
The main ride, right?
Yeah, this was like the oldest one, though. So, I mean, it wasn't as much fun as some of the new ones, but it's sort of like a classic, you know? I mean, that was one of the first ones there, and it's a wooden roller coaster, so it makes a lot of noise, too.
You know? That would probably have freaked me out.
Really?
I like safe roller coasters.
Yeah.
Like, when they look safe, like, not wooden.
Yeah.
That would probably have freaked me out.
Look, it's lasted for centuries.
That's true.
For decades.
That's true.
Yeah.
USA plays Belgium tomorrow.
Oh, Belgium.
Or one. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's hope we win, man. I mean, we can, because everybody's making fun of Americans. Oh, suddenly Americans are into soccer. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah. What the hell? Why not? You know, it's a celebration. It's a party like the Olympics.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Got to rally around the country.
Exactly. You know, even if we don't watch this this game, but the whole world is celebrating, we might as well too.
Yeah.
You know, I think a big win would probably really bring, I mean, I can't see the U.S. winning the World Cup. They'll probably get, you know, they could get up high. But with teams like, you know, out there.
No, I don't think they're going to win. But I think they could get through another round maybe, hopefully. Right.
But, yeah, but what I'm thinking is if we won, like, the World Cup and stuff, it would probably be enough to actually make soccer a big deal here.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't even know if that would make it.
It's like the chicken or the egg, you know, right. Which comes first. You know, maybe if we play well, it'll become popular. Or maybe if it becomes popular, then... You know, then we'll be a good team.
I don't think it'll... I think it'll just be popular once every... Is the World Cup every 4 years?
I think every two, isn't
every
it?
Every two. I think it'll just be popular when it's the World Cup now.
Right.
Because that's just what...
I'm thinking every year, no? Isn't it every year?
I don't think it's every year.
No,
because qualifications started last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a year-long process to get into... to qualify.
Right.
Maybe it's every two. But I don't... I just don't think Americans will... Or like, because football, the main sport for America is football.
Right.
You know?
And baseball and, you know.
Basketball.
Yeah.
There's too many sports to compete with.
I know.
Soccer isn't fun enough for, I don't think, for Americans to completely rally around.
Right. I know. And I'm putting in the question here. None of them are giving me the answer. I asked, how frequent is the World Cup? Let's see. Maybe if we put, happen or something. Okay. Is it national? Okay. I think it's here. It's just I need to go into the article here.
I think it's every 4 years.
Yeah. Probably like the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Once every 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but
is that what it says? I still can't find it here.
Yeah. Why is the World Cup every 4 years?
Oh, okay. Wow. I thought it was more frequent than that. I really did.
Yeah.
It should be. No? I like celebrations like this, even though I don't watch anything.
It's true.
You know?
But I guess it's like, because it's, the Olympics were the Olympics last year?
Yeah.
So it's like the year after.
2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years.
2012, right.
Yeah, it's 2012. Gosh, I was thinking, right. I'm like, what year is it right now?
Yeah.
So it's in between.
Right,
and then the
exactly.
World Championships are every 2 years.
Right. What do you mean World Championships? Which one?
Compared with like just in general.
Okay.
The World Championships, right? Isn't it like a...
Because I know
every swimming
are
every 2 years.
Oh, okay.
But because each sport has like a world championship as well as the Olympics.
Gotcha.
And
those take place every couple of years?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's, yeah, there's I think that it's spread, equally spread.
Yeah.
Sporting events. Yeah, I think they do a good job.
I know.
And then every year you have college football, NFL.
Right.
All that.
Plenty of sports,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, plenty of sports.
I just like when the world comes together. It's pretty cool, actually.
It is. Yeah. It is. And not just America. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Following up on the man who left his son in the hot car.
Right.
So we talked about the fact that they found on his computer a search on how long it takes...
For
a child to die.
Or was it a child or was it an animal? An animal?
Yeah. They didn't even say if it was an animal or anything. They just said he did a search on death, you know, in a hot car, right. So they're saying that that he researched this in case it occurred. And then his wife apparently is also suspected of having done the search as well.
Hmm.
So... Yeah, definitely things that make you go...
Completely. And like I said from the start, why didn't... Something's fishy because why wouldn't the wife say, oh, did you drop our child off at daycare today?
Right,
like,
right.
Did it go okay? Is our kid okay?
Right.
Yeah.
And they're saying if she's angry with him, and she says, absolutely not. It's never crossed my mind.
To be angry?
To be angry with him.
And that's weird too.
Isn't it?
I'd be heartbroken.
Right.
I mean, you can't even...
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But what if you believed him, you know? But then again, I mean, how... I don't think... if I was a mother, I'd still... I don't see how I could believe him.
No, and she should have asked what, how.
Right.
Like, if our baby's okay, got to childcare okay.
Right. Exactly. Like, where was she during the day?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, completely.
That's scary, man. We'll see what happens.
Oscar Pistorius, did I say that right?
Yeah.
He's back in court today. He's been gone through a month-long...
break, right?
A month-long evaluation by three psychiatrists and a psychologist.
Oh.
To reveal if he had mental issues during the time that he shot
right.
his wife.
His girlfriend.
Oh, was it girlfriend? It wasn't wife? No. But yeah, so he can either be found that, yes, he was mentally incapacitated.
Right.
The best scenario for the defense would be that
fine. I mean, that's
I forgot which one. Yeah. No, the best would be that there was problems,
right?
And then when the judge is giving him a sentence, then if he's found guilty and the judge is giving the sentence, the judge will likely be easier on him.
So you think it'd be like the insanity defense or something? You think they want that?
It'll be. It's not insanity. It's
It was like mentally incapacitated.
Yeah,
I see.
Mentally ill.
Right.
And he'll be either put in a psychiatric condition,
right.
or given an easier sentence,
right.
or they'll just be no.
Right.
They'll have said that because he has anxiety.
Right.
He was diagnosed with anxiety issues earlier than in the year.
Right.
So that's why she put him through psychiatric treatment.
Evaluation
right. to see if
wow.
that was gonna
yeah.
that affected him at all. But yeah. then, how long has so it been now?
Conclude? Did they conclude anything?
They found out today.
Oh,
the
I
results
see.
Were
okay.
in on Friday. Today is back in court to find out if there was any.
Oh, okay, cool.
If anything was found,
okay. Because I think I saw a headline on this. I think maybe they did come out with something already. Let me see. There was something Pistorius here. Well, never mind. It doesn't really matter.
Pistorius
was not mentally ill.
Oh,
that's
what
it
my
said.
Story's behind.
Yeah, your story's a few minutes behind.
See, and I was going to say, how could they even say he was mentally ill at the time? I mean, right. how long ago was it now?
Well, they tried to establish maybe his state of mind when was, you know, I don't know, but I'm sure they have ways and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no way he's going to be found anything but guilty.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. All right, well, that's it for today. Tomorrow we're going to have an exciting show. We're going to have actually a few people in the studio, which is unusual. I don't like to have more than two guests, but they have something that they want to discuss and everything, and a bunch of exciting people, so we're going to have
awesome.
Them on tomorrow. That'll be fun. And that's it. So everybody have a great day. You too, Charlotte.
You too.
And see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.